I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. It is Friday, September 27th, and boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you. I'm Will Brinson, the host of the daily CBS Sports NFL Podcast. Joining me today to do some picks, the tan, the talented, Pete Briscoe.
Tan? I looked at myself when I came on. I look like I'm as pale as I've ever been. You'd think I was sick.
RJ okay. White.
You look tan next to me.
Okay.
I like, by comparison.
Yeah. I
should be hiding my face the way my picks are going.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second. I'm growing this beard so people won't know that I'm not tan because it's the fall now. You lose your tan, grow the beard. If people want to see my luxurious beard or Pete's luxurious tan, you can watch us on YouTube. We are live. Like, you can see us. YouTube.com/CBS Sports. If you love the pick show and you want to get the picks on Thursday night, I guess. I think it's Thursday night. The picks episode is available by Thursday evening. The podcast, the audio version, comes out Friday. And if you'd like to dive on in and subscribe anywhere, you can do that, including Stitcher. Their app just got a brand new redesign and it looks awesome. And, so you should go check out all the CBS Sports Podcast Network shows on the Stitcher app. Cover 3 with Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons. Fantasy Football Today with, let's see who's on there. Dave, Richard,
Jamie, Adam, Azer, and Heath Cummings.
No, the joke was you don't list Jamie or Adam as a joke. That's fine.
Is that a joke? Anyway, I don't know.
It's fine. Very quickly, let's look at the standings from last week.
No, let's not.
It's hot in here. Oh man, it's hot in here. 5-1-1 for your boy. And I hit the under personally on Green Bay, so I think it should have been 6-1. I won't protest though. 12-4-1 on the season, hitting 70% of these best bets on the podcast. I should be up more personally, but I'm not. Whatever. Just ride these podcast bets. RJ White, 4-3 on the week, 12-7. Also scorching 12-7 too. And RJ hadn't even gotten rolling either. And, well, you know what?
You guys have more wins than I have picks, or as many wins as I have picks. Think about that. I'm going to start picking a lot of games too.
Yeah, we watch a lot of football.
If they're winners, you can have.
I'd be like 5-15 right now instead if I pick more games. You know what? I got to tell this. We're on a text chain, and at some point during the night on Sunday, I get this picture of Brinson taking a shot of my expert picks record at the time was 4-10. So I just happened to look over and see what his seasonal record is. It's 3 ahead of me. Well, he missed the next 2 and I got the next 2. So you're 1 ahead of me, Brinson. You act like you're like, Mr. Handicapper from Vegas.
Yeah, that's where we pick every game and not all the winners. I am for the season.
You're 1 better than me.
Yeah, 24-23-1. You're 23-24-1.
RJ, what did I just say?
That sounds like one better.
Last week, hey Pete, was the parlay a winner or was it a?
It's a loser.
We hit the Kansas City Baltimore over. Man,
those didn't even come. The other two didn't even come close to coming in.
That Seattle game was a weird one. I mean, that should have covered. I think.
Yeah, I mean, they 14-point.
Yeah, you can't account for kick return punt defense.
A lot of weird stuff in that.
Yeah.
Game.
But the other one had no chance.
The other one was terrible.
That was a bad pick.
28-3 at halftime. The Bears pick 6 and all that stuff. That's fine. We're going to get one of these pretty hot. by the way, oh, sorry, we should reference it because you can't see it on the screen, but it was Seattle minus four, Bears, Redskins Monday Night Football under 41.5, and Chiefs Ravens over 53.
I'm going to go on record saying we weren't close. Let's just agree to agree.
Sure. Yeah, that last game, for sure.
Terrible.
I had a buddy who picked a tease the other day for us, and he went 1-for-4 on the tease. He's like, at least we saved us money. It's like, no, you didn't. We lost money on the tees. What are you talking about?
How did he save you money?
He's saying if we'd bet them all individually, we would have lost more money. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, they're good picks. Person who will remain nameless, Garrett. Anyway, let's dive into our picks for the week. Patriots. And Pete's, we do what we do every week. We're going to do, X number, we're going to do Pete's best bets, go over the games there. Any consensus picks that we have, we will include in the parlay. And then Pete will bounce out of here. He has other obligations. I'll be joining him, but I'm not leaving. No big deal, Pete.
You're on after me. They put the talent first.
That's right. Okay. And then RJ and I will run through the rest of the games. That way you can hear our leans, our picks, stuff we like. If you want to put your bets in for the week, or you just want, you know, you got a picks pool or something like that.
By the way, I feel like this, you guys might not know this, but there used to be a guy that picked games called Leonard's Losers way back in the day. You ever hear of him? He tried to pick the loser, and the winner would ultimately be the one that came out because he was a loser, but that's me. That's me. I'm the loser.
You're going to pick all your losers this week?
I'm going to pick all losers. I like my picks this week. Last week I didn't like the board at all.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Kevin Clark, I think Kevin Clark did that at the Ringer at one point. He was like,
so he copied him.
He was just like bad bets, but he picked like the worst bets, but he would go 5-0 because he's like, he knew that they wouldn't come.
It's like Hollywood. Everything's a sequel now.
Is it?
Pretty much.
Is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a sequel?
No.
Is it?
Is it? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's great. Okay. That's where I was on Sunday. First half.
I'm sure.
Watching a movie.
I'm sure.
Patriots minus 7 at the Bills, over under 42.5. Pete, you feeling frisky on this one?
To the point where I think Buffalo can win the game. I love the Bills. I love the Bills. You're going to give me 7. I'm taking it. I think they might win. They have a chance to win the game.
Dave Richard picked the Bills to win the game too. Come on, Dave, get off my island, pal.
Who did?
David, I picked it. I assumed I would be the only one. Dave also picked him to win. That's
scary. Yeah, I like Buffalo in this game. I really do. I think this is a game, and I might switch that pick and pick him to win. But I just think that defense is good. They're feisty. The offensive line for the Patriots is an issue. They lose their fullback. What are they going to do? Right? So for me, I look at that. I know they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Allen, but he can get outside the pocket and hit a couple throws down the field. I think it's a low-scoring game. You're going to give me 7 points. I'm taking it.
Yeah, I don't know about getting outside the pocket. It seems like their game plan is just to knock him around as much as possible. So I would assume that somebody's spying him at all times. But I would also lean Bills +7. I just think that's way too many points. It's a lot of disrespect for a team that's 3-0 and not really a fraudulent 3-0. They've played well. So you're making them at home 7-point underdogs. I mean, Patriots are good. I'm not going to sit here and trash the Patriots, but they're not like historically amazing, even though that defense is pretty incredible. So, because these two teams are very strong on the defenses, my best bet's the under 42.5. The unders in these teams' games should be 6-0, if not for those two fluke Jets touchdowns at the end of that game. The Pats D still hasn't given up a touchdown. Go back to the AFC Championship game last time they gave up a touchdown. Only 3 points allowed on the year. They're number one in just about any category you can find, but the Bills are top three in a lot of categories too. So I love the under. I like the Bills. I would sign with the Bills too, but I definitely love the under.
Two really good secondaries, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bills don't get enough credit for their secondary because White's playing good. Wallace on the other side is really playing good, mm-hmm. and the two safeties are playing well. In the other secondary, everybody's playing well. In fact, Jason McCourty's playing better than Gilmore, and Devin McCourty's playing better than Jason McCourty. And Jones is playing good. That secondary's outstanding.
Well, so I took the Bills, like I said, to win outright is one of our picks. I mean, I understand it's the odds of the Patriots actually losing aren't high, but I think the Bills are a very good football team, and we can't just give it to the Patriots because they're the Patriots. I took the under as one of my best bets. I'm willing to take either the under or the Bills as part of the parlay, depending on what you guys want to do here.
I like the under as well. So whatever, let's do them both. Let's throw them both in there.
Throw them both.
Yeah,
put them both.
People can't bet that this is a correlated parlay, right?
Yeah, they can.
No, you can't.
You can't bet the same. You can bet an under in a game in a parlay.
It depends. It depends on the total. It depends on how big the spread is. I mean, sometimes they won't let you. Sometimes they will.
So Brinson, you can do that.
Check on your site. You could see that.
I bet you can. I'll bet you. You bet you can make that bet.
Now you're just betting to bet. I'm pretty sure you cannot bet Bills and
the under. Oh, yes, you can.
It's a correlated parlay. Maybe you can. I mean, I don't think. Yeah. Well, let's not Google it on the. Yeah, I mean, sport. An offshore site is letting you do it. I know that a lot of people can't. So let's just pick one of them. That way we're not correlated. Because like, I've tried to do that on my site before, and it said you can't do that. It's correlated.
I'm good with either. Let's do. I like Pete's plus seven. Let's do plus.
Let's do plus seven.
See, plus
you like him to win. You like him to win the game, so you like plus seven as much as you like the under. So let's pick him to win plus seven.
I think it's gonna be a game like a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, where it's just two people dancing around and sort of feeling each other out, not trying to take shots, not trying to be too aggressive because they understand how good the defenses are on each, especially the secondary on each side. I think there'll be a lot of running, and I like the under, but I think.
But if the Patriots are going to run and no Devlin, that hurts them. Mm-hmm. That's big for them.
That's big. Yeah. All right. So we're taking Bills plus seven or seven and a half.
Across the board. And we like the under, even though we're not putting it in the parlay.
I mean, I would just bet the under separately. I mean, again, they're correlated, so bet them separately. That was fun, guys. By the way, Bills, 5-1 against the spread in their last six versus the AFC. 4-1 against the spread in their last five games overall. The under is 4-1 in the Patriots' last five games in September. The under is 5-0 in the Bills' last five games in September. So, yeah, under. So we don't do the under as part of the parlay instead?
No, we're putting the Bills in.
Jaguars at Broncos -3. The over under a robust 38.5. Pete, that's how many? Are you 38.5 centimeters tall?
I think. look, the Jacksonville defense had 9 sacks last week. Mm-hmm. This offensive line is every bit as bad as the Tennessee offensive line. I don't like teams going into Mile High usually. But I think they are going to maim Flacco in this game. I think it's going to be disgusting. Garrett Bowles might be one of the worst offensive linemen I've ever seen. They know it. They just don't have a replacement for him. The other offensive tackle isn't great. They will get after him. They will turn the ball over. It'll be very low scoring. If you're going to give me 3, I'm taking. In fact, I think the Jaguars win the game outright. I think Minshew will be fine. I like Jacksonville in this game.
My lean would be to the Broncos. My concern is with their injuries, but I think they should be laying more than 3 here. You know, I love Minshew. He's still a 6th-round rookie. He's going into a tough home field situation in Denver, so that's not a place where I expect him to have a lot of success. And that Jags offense hasn't exactly lit it up the last 2 weeks against mediocre defenses. Denver D hasn't been playing well, but they're going to start getting sacks and turnovers at some point. You're just not going to have 0 of each throughout
the course.
And they had a solid game. The offense had a solid game at Green Bay aside from their turnovers. They should have won their first home game against Chicago. That bad roughing call, plus that long field goal means they ended up losing. But I think Denver was better than they've shown so far. And these two teams being equal, I think Broncos probably have a little bit better home field than 3. So that's why I would lay the 3 here.
Yeah. The injuries have me, certainly concerned as well. I was just looking at them. They're going to be without or could be without Bryce Callahan, Juwan James, and Kareem Jackson, as pointed out.
Well, they are without Bryce Callahan because he's out for another four or five weeks.
Right. But I mean, like, that's their 3 big free agent.
Wolf. What about Wolf? Wolf's,
yeah.
I mean, Wolf's probably going to miss too. I mean, that's a big loss. That team has got issues on that side of the ball now, but they really have issues on the other side of the ball.
Let me ask you something, Pete. How hard do you think it is for a defensive – how many defensive coaches do you know that have ever been head coaches outside of Bill Belichick that have called plays from the field since you've been covering football? I mean, it's got to be a short list.
Yeah, there's not that many, but there's more than you think, though. I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's more than you think.
But I mean, like, most of them are kind of established. Like,
right. Why, it bothers you that Fangio's calling the plays?
They don't have a sack or a turnover. It's his first time coaching on the field in like 30 years.
Now, players got to go make plays too. I mean, you got to win. I mean, first 2 games, the ball's gotten out. The first, and Rodgers gets the ball out if he's not running around. So, I think more than anything, in the first game, they had a lot of pressure. They got the ball out. Carr got the ball out quickly. What is the Bears' passing game? Get the ball out quickly. So it's as much as getting the ball out as it is for these guys not making plays. They'll be fine. And this is a good, you're right, this is probably a good week. That's why I think the under is really a good play in this game.
Mm-hmm. It's really low though, so it's just,
yeah,
when you get to the 38 range.
This could be like the Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
Low.
You know what you could do here, by the way, is, if you put the Bills in our parlay that we're talking about, tease this under and the Patriots under. A little two-team, seven-point teaser. Maybe the Patriots and Bills are scoring 49?
I don't like, using teasers, using totals and teasers just because the points aren't worth as much. You know, when you're teasing to the line, you're right, talking about 6 point, minus right, six, minus five. I'm a total majority up to the 40 range. So it's a little bit harder to hit, but both these games should go under those totals.
Well, the Jaguars are one of my best bets. You don't like them. You would lean the Broncos. You're not putting it in there. What about you, Will?
No, I had the Broncos in my picks, but I'm a little scared with all these injuries, so I will steer clear. But that can certainly be one of your best bets. Boy, another scorcher here. Browns, Ravens. Ravens minus 6.5. Ooh, it is begging you to take Baltimore. And the over-under is 4.5. Are you going to be that? What do you do, Pete? You going to be that fish? Take the hook there?
I'm taking the Browns in this one. I think this division game, I think they're going to show up. I think their defense will be okay. It's not been great, but it'll be okay in this game. And they'll come up with something to slow down Lamar Jackson. And I just don't like what I've seen from Mayfield in the offense, but at some point it's going to get going. I'm worried about the offensive line, but I think you give me 6.5 points in a game where I think it's probably a field goal game, I'm taking the Browns.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be a field goal game, though. I had it. The look-ahead line was it started at 3.5. It got to 4. And then now, all of a sudden, now when the Browns stunk it up on their primetime game, at 7. Now, you would say play against that huge line movie and you're getting value. I actually thought it should have been 7 the whole time through. So I don't necessarily think there's great value taking the Browns here. You know, they haven't looked good at all. There's still injury issues in the secondary, though Randall returned to practice, so at least that's going to help. They have trouble defending the run. Remember that game at the end of the last season? They gave up 296 rushing yards to Baltimore. And this offense looks a little bit more dynamic because they can scare you throwing the ball. So I don't know how many yards Baltimore is going to run for, but I wouldn't rule out another 296. The Ravens haven't turned the ball over once, lead in many offensive categories. I think they're first in points per drive in particular. The defense got gashed by the Chiefs, but it's the Chiefs, and the Cleveland D isn't anywhere near.
Well, they gave up a lot of yards to the Cardinals too.
That's true. A lot of that was some of that was garbage time.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, Wink Martindale, I think, is going to feast on the Cleveland offensive line. That offensive line is just
bad.
So
it's bad.
But
6.5 is too.
It's going to be hard to me if you put them in passing situations for Mayfield to have success and you start bringing the heat against that offensive line. So I would take it. I think they win by at least 7. So I'm on the Ravens on this side.
Yeah. I'm on the Browns.
Yeah. I'm taking the Ravens too here. 6.5. I'm a sucker for that 6.5. It was 7. What did we see on the look ahead, RJ? Like 3.5 or something like that?
It opened 3.5 on the look ahead. Then it got to 4.5 before the games kicked off on Sunday, and then it reopened it.
By the way, Mayfield's as much as the problem as the offensive line. I went back and watched this. He's bailing at it when there are pockets there. He's not going to his progressions. He's not playing well at all. But I still, at some point, it'll click. And I don't think the Ravens' defense is that good anymore. It just isn't. It's not the same defense.
We'll see.
It's not as good. One of the things that it seemed Wade Phillips did a good job at was sending different, like sending the defensive lineman in ways that Baker Mayfield wasn't expecting it. Is that true? Did you see that at all?
No, I think what's happening with him is defenses are throwing a lot of looks that rotate at the snap, and he's not adjusting to it. For example, they'll show one thing, adjust right before the snap, and he's not adjusting to it at all. He's got to be better at seeing what's happening out there. It's more on him, as much on him. And the line stinks, don't get me wrong, but he's playing poorly.
And then Todd Monken had that quote that's like, Odell is singled more than you think. You know, he had that quote this week. And
right,
a little bit of shade throwing at Baker.
Todd will throw shade.
You've got to find him.
Todd will throw some shade now.
I thought that some of that shade was on to Freddie, but do you think it was at
It's on Freddie, it's on Odell, and it's on Baker.
It's on Baker, too. I mean, if he's single, throw the ball.
Right.
He's gonna
Baker's missing.
Here's the exact quote, by the way. He was asked on overcoming Odell Beckham getting doubled almost every play. He said, there are more times than you think where he is singled up. You have to find a way to get him the ball, and that is what you try to do. Sometimes he is singled up, and you're running the football. Sometimes it's a situational thing. Obviously, when you have a really good player, you're trying to get him the football. That is obvious.
He's coming off the reads too soon, too, because I know why he's doing it. He's fearful of that pocket. But at times, even when the pocket's clean, he's getting off of them too soon and letting, like if he's got one in front, it's not right there because the linebackers, there's one behind it and he's not getting to the one behind it. He's got to play better.
He had a couple spots against the Rams where he dragged Odell Beckham dragged Aaron Donald into the play as a result of the situation.
Yeah.
Let's, Yeah, let's see. My son is yelling at me for something, but I'll ask you about the next game.
He must like the Browns too. Your son, he likes the Browns.
It might be a Browns situation. We'll find out about
10 minutes. Oh my God, not really. No. God help you.
I think he wants some.
Isn't he a little old for that? But then again, are you?
Chiefs -6.5 at the Lions. Over under 54.5. Pete, take it away for 1 second.
Look, bottom line for me is I like the Chiefs in this spot. I know you like the Lions. I just think that the Lions are paper Lions, okay? That's what they are. I don't think they're that good. I know they wanted the Eagles. That's a crippled Eagles team. I just think that when Mahomes goes in there, his offense, as fast as it is, will look even faster. Their track meet inside there, they're going to run all over him. He's going to throw 5 touchdowns. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, don't tell me what I like. Because my value says take the Lions, but no, I'm leaning to the Chiefs as well.
That's what I thought you would say.
They're dealing with some key injuries. Fisher, you know, Damian hadn't been practicing. Tyreek Hill, obviously being out. Lions look good so far. That didn't surprise me, but the Chiefs are going to just gash them on offense. You know, they're going to score however many points they want. Lions are 23rd in points scored per drive. Their run game's lagged, so Kansas City's awful against the run. But if you're not establishing the run well anyway, I don't know how much that's going to help. So I think indoors, like you said, Chiefs can turn it into a track meet. Chiefs can score whatever they want. I don't think the Lions can keep up.
Over is the best bet. My best bet.
Yeah, 54.5 is high. The Lions have to do their part, and we don't know if they will be able to. But
I think there's going to be 8 touchdown passes in this game.
There could be. You know, I would say Chiefs get to 30, and then you're just begging that the Lions can keep up with them.
Right.
So
I think 38-28.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I mean, I do like the Detroit defense when they're not playing Kansas City. I think they're actually pretty good this year, but yeah, this is going to be hard to stop.
The Detroit defense is good at stopping teams that don't play like Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they could load up, play the run well, but when you can throw on them, I think there's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, and you would think that the Chargers would have had success with their good quarterback there, but they were able to get that game dirty because of the bad offensive line.
And they fumbled on the 1-yard line.
Right. So, but that was still a low-scoring game anyway. This isn't going to be a low-scoring
game. No, hell no.
Great analysis. I couldn't agree with you guys potentially anymore. You know what? Patrick Mahomes has never played a game indoors in the NFL. Did you guys already talk about that?
What was that?
No, yeah, he hasn't. All the Patrick Mahomes road games so far have been outdoors.
This is the first one.
First one in his career indoors in the NFL. And his numbers in college, Breach wrote about this, are insane.
One was at the Superdome. I think it was against Tulane or something, I think. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, his numbers were insane in college wherever he played.
Right. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but it was like his numbers indoors are like, it's like he averaged like 494 passing yards indoors. So, I mean, he could go bananas here. I like a lot for DFS purposes. I think going with like Matthew Stafford and Kenny Galladay, who are cheap in a game that I think they're just going to have to throw it around. I don't know that I personally love the over because I think the defense for Detroit's really good. And I'm probably too scared to take the Lions +6.5, but I think the line does stink a little bit. I don't mind your over there at 54, Pete. Matthew Stafford's been pretty good this year, by the way.
He has been pretty good this year. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is the best thrower of the football I've ever seen since Dan Marino. The best. And that's saying something. Because I love Rodgers and what he's done. I love watching Peyton with his cerebral approach to it and Breeze's accuracy and even, you know, guys over the years, but he's the best thrower of the football that I've seen.
So how do you defend him? Like, if you're on the other side, like, what do you do to slow him down just a little bit?
I think you have to go after him. I think, and everybody sits there, like, think about this for a second. How many busts have we seen in the first 3 games against them? Busts, wide open guy. Hardman was wide open. Watkins was wide open in week 1. We see all these busts. That tells me that you get too caught up in what you're doing in coverage-wise instead of going after him. I think the best way to play him is to go after him, hit him, and attack him. But most people are fearful. You're going to give up the big play. You're giving up the big play anyway. So I'd go hit him.
Might as well try to get there in time and shake him up a little bit.
Correct.
Lower his eyes.
Because if he stands there,
throwing 50-yard passes.
If he stands there, you're going to bust. He's finding that guy. And if you play soft zone, he's just going to pick you apart.
And look, and how good they've looked, and they really haven't had Tyreek Hill.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean, I think it's, you say since Marino, I would say he's already better than Marino.
Please stop with that. It's a year and 2-3 games. So you can't, if Marino was playing right now, the way the rules are, he'd have 2,500 yards and 14 touchdowns in 3 games. The guy processed information so fast and his release was as quick as can be. And he had 2 little guys playing wide receiver one was chubby and the other one could run. Come on. Marino would be, in with the rules the way they were, through for 5,000 yards. Think about that. Stop it. I know. You got me. You got me.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It was Debo's idea. I kid. Let me ask you this though, Pete, about with Mahomes, because there's been a lot. I've heard this a lot, that people believe there. People are starting to say Mahomes is I don't want to say the greatest quarterback of all time, because that's he's in his second, third year. You know, you just can't be there, and he didn't have a Super Bowl win. But people are saying, and we talked about this with Brady, like there's a movement. It's like Mahomes is playing the best level of quarterback we've seen in 20 to 25 years, and he might be the most athletically gifted quarterback. Do you think that's a fair assessment, or are we too early on it?
It's, I mean, he's playing great football, and how do you just asked it. How do you stop him? So, but again, you got to go back and the rules are different now. I mean, guys are running free. It's easy to protect the quarterback. You can't hit him. It's a different game. Marino had to stand in there and get blasted, and because the receivers were getting mugged on the outside. So, but to answer your question, it's phenomenal. And to you, your question is great. How do you stop him? If it's me, I'm going to hit him. Mm-hmm. And if he hits me a couple times, so what? He's going to hit you anyways. Right. I don't know why teams are afraid to do it.
You got to get there. You got to get an arm on him, you know, on his arm. You know, if you're bringing the pressure, get him a ball to bounce up in the air, get a turnover you probably shouldn't have had, because he's just not going to give you free turnovers. So.
And the line isn't good. The line's not, you know, with no Fisher there, left tackle, and because Cam Irvin stinks, the inside guys aren't very good. So I think you hit him.
They lost Mitch Morse in the offseason.
Yeah, and Ryder's just okay, and the doctor from Canada is okay. Duvernay.
Did you put that on his jersey?
The doctor from Canada. And the left guard's just average at best. Schwartz is really good. But, I mean, seriously, I'd hit him.
Bucks at Rams. Rams minus 9.5. Over under 49. A substantial over under for two teams that have improved on defense and haven't been that great on offense. Pete, what do you think about that game?
I know where he's going because we talked about it already. But I'm going the other way. I like the Rams in this game. I do not like the Bucks. I think the defense had their two games, and now they became who they were last week. They were bad on defense last week, made Daniel Jones look like a star. I think this is the week that Goff gets his offense going against that defense. Long trip. 9.5. Again, call me Chalky Pete, because I was chalky last week, but I'm going to be chalky.
Goff doesn't have quite the mobility of Daniel Jones, and that really made a difference in that game, him running around and picking up touchdowns.
Line's better, though.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get much worse than what the
Giants got better.
The Giants have been playing. The D is surprisingly good in Tampa, 3rd in yards per rush attempt, 15 in net yards per pass attempt. Offense is coming off a good game, but they've yet to fully click. We thought they were going to be much better just based on what we saw last year with that talent, and they haven't got.
Rams defense is playing much better, though.
Rams defense is playing well. They also have gotten a few, like, breaks. You know, they got to play, you know, half of Teddy Bridgewater when Breeze went down and Bridgewater wasn't ready to come in that game. They got to play an ugly Cleveland line. So the Rams have gotten a little bit lucky with who they've played. I do like Bucks plus 9.5 as a best bet. One of the reasons is the spot. The Rams have to play at Seattle on Thursday, and that's been a bad spot for teams early in the season, where these home favorites, when they have a road Thursday game coming up, they do surprisingly poorly. So I think you're getting a lot of value here. There could be some look ahead with the Rams having to travel.
If they weren't playing on Thursday night, would you take the 9.5?
It'd just be a stay. It'd probably be a stay away. Yeah. But I would think about it. I mean, I do think you're showing a little bit of disrespect to the Bucks here. You know, this game's probably seems a little bit more like 7.5 to me, and then you throw in the spot. That's why it's a best bet for me.
Pete, now I believe you had the over as a best bet.
I like the over a lot. Yeah, that is one of my best bets.
Did you say you like the over or the Buccaneers, RJ? Sorry,
RJ. I like the Bucks plus 9 is my.
Yeah, he likes the Bucks plus 9 is his best. 9.5 is his best bet. I like the over, but I also like the Rams in the game. I'm not even getting the best bet, but I like the Rams.
Okay, all right, but sorry, we don't have a consensus on that one. I would lean over and lean Buccaneers if I was picking that. 9.5 is a lot. It feels like, I mean, they were up 28-10 on that. They were stomping the Giants. I mean, they were stomping them. And their defense has been better, and they sort of let up. It kind of felt like Bruce Arians went into halftime of that game. I mean, and
they played a one-arm – they played quarterback with a bad foot and couldn't throw the ball in week two. I mean, Cam Newton was awful that day. So, look, I think the defense is getting better. The young players are playing better. I just don't think it's there yet. And I think the Rams are going to expose it this week. That's me. But I hope it goes up and down, because my best bet is the over.
Okay. Well, no consensus there. Let's move along. Oh, that is the end of your best bet. So wait, what? All right. Well, let's get your best bet.
Yeah, I don't have 12 of them a week like you two do.
Five of them. That's a lot. How many more can you do?
How many do you have?
I think I have five. I've had five a week, right?
RJ, RJ's been way heavy.
I have like seven or eight.
Yeah.
Brinson had more last week. He did have more. He had seven or eight. I don't know if he's talking about five a week.
I like I picked
you were 5-1-1, so you had seven last week.
I like the card last week. I went 11-5 or whatever in my picks league.
RJ's right. You're lying again.
What do you mean I'm lying?
You said I have five a week. You had seven last week.
I mean, I'd probably average five.
How many? What's your record?
Can you put the records back up there, Pete?
Put the records back up. I want to see your record. I want to see how pitiful I am, but I want to see your record. Because I don't. RJ.
Hold on.
He's had a minimum of five.
And okay. Making great audio, too. Five.
You got
five,
17, so you're over five a week.
Yeah, you're five, five, and seven. So.
All right, so I'm averaging 6.5 a week. What do you want from me?
But that's not five.
17 divided by three. That's 5.7 a week. What do you want from me? It's close enough to five. I'm trying to pick five, and if I like a few more, I throw them in there. 12-4-1 of the season. These are white hot.
By the way, if it keeps going this way, I'm going to pick about 16 of them.
Just throw them out there and see what happens. All right, go back to Pete's best bets if you don't mind to the control room. If you could wipe, so you could be seeing this magic on YouTube and not youtube.com/CBSSports. Pete, give us your best bets.
Buffalo +7. They have a chance to win the game. I also like the under in that game, even though it's not one of my best bets. Jacksonville, I think they win that game. You're going to give me 3. Cleveland +6.5 field goal game for me. Love the over in the Chiefs-Lions game and love the over in the Rams-Bucks game. By the way, you notice how I'm not laying any points in those situations like I did last week when I was the chalky Prisco. I'm not doing that again.
You loved laying points last week.
No, I told you I hated it, and it came back and it bit me.
Hey, all right, so what do we want to do with this parlay then? Because we only have one bet, the Bills +7.5.
Well, do you have any? You guys have any best bets that you agree on? And if you do, then I'll let you know, and I'll tell you if we can put it in or not. How about that?
Do you like the Cowboys at the
same? Yes, I do.
All right, here we go. Let's just do that game real quick. You got time, Pete?
Yeah, I got time.
Cowboys -2.5 at the Saints, over under 47.5. What do you think?
Go ahead, RJ. I'll let you start.
I love the Cowboys. I think that New Orleans win was fraudulent. I keep harping on it.
You do. You said that about 12 times this week already.
Teams are 2-50. That's 52 games. They're 2-50 straight up since 2007 with that 270 yards and 500 yard split. New Orleans had 265 yards of offense, gave up 515 yards of defense. So Saints home field has been overrated the last few years. I think Teddy's going to have to step up big time to keep up with the Dallas offense. That's really good. Dallas offense ranks #2 in net yards per attempt, #4 in yards per rush, #3 in points per drive. It's top five rankings, you know, and a ton of categories with them. D's also excellent, and they haven't played anybody, so I'm not going to spit out all the actual stats. But they've rushed for 200 yards, plus yards twice. New Orleans ranks 28th in yards per rush allowed, so that's a key factor there for me. And then Dallas is 7-2-1 against the spread on primetime since the start of 2017. 12-4 straight up since the start of 2016. We obviously know 2016 is the Dak Zeke, you know, era that started. So this team knows how to play on primetime. I'm not worried about them going into New Orleans where the home field hasn't been great. And I think this Cowboys team is much better than the Saints with Teddy Bridgewater. So 2.5. I was hoping this would happen once the Saints won that game fraudulently again. I'll say that word again.
And the 16th time.
And it would drop to 2.5 from 3, and it did. So I'm definitely throwing 2.5 as a best bet for me.
You know what? Throw this in my best bet pool too, because I'm with him. I think exactly the same way you do. Remember, Lyle Collins got destroyed by Cam Jordan the last time they played. He just abused him. He's playing the best of any offensive lineman on that group. They're going to protect Dak. They're going to run the ball. They're going to do what they want. And I'm not a big believer in Teddy Bridgewater. Normally at home, you sit there and say, hey, Drew Brees at home. He's going to light up the sky. I don't think Teddy can do that in this game. I'm with you. I like the Cowboys. Make it a best bet for me, too.
That's one of my best bets, too. I think the Cowboys are an awesome team. I just think they're a really good team. And Teddy Bridgewater didn't throw one pass more than 10 yards down the field. I mean, credit to Sean Payton and credit to the defense and credit to the special teams for creating a fraudulent 14 points.
Oh, it was fraudulent. No question. word of the day, fraudulent.
I mean, look, I get it. You get up with a lead. Your defense is playing really well and you make sure that Teddy isn't going to have to do anything that he's going to be uncomfortable with that's going to cause him to potentially turn the ball over. Well, they're not doing that in Dallas. Dak Prescott is comfortable. They're protecting for him. He's got tons of weapons. They're running the ball well. I think Saints defense is one of the sneaky better defenses in the league. They actually are not ranked that highly.
They're not. They're not playing that well.
Maybe. Well, but I mean, like a bunch of the stuff they gave up to Russell Wilson was, dare I say,
it was garbage time. It was garbage time. Fraudulent.
But then, you know, Houston runs up and down the field on them, right, you know, back and forth, and they gave up two huge plays at the end of that game, and Houston got back in it. So, I mean, they're not locking down the big plays.
No, they're not that good.
0-5 against the spread in their last five home games for the Saints. 1-7 in their last eight games overall. That one game being against the Seahawks. That's not ideal. All right. Let's get.
We need one more game for the parlay.
I think, under on Monday night.
Hold on. I think I know which way Pete will go here. Seahawks -5.5 at the Cardinals, over under 48. Pete, what do you
like
there?
No, because you're wrong. Because I know I like the Seahawks, and I think RJ likes the other side in this.
All right, we'll go to a different game then.
I'm there.
Colts. You like Colts -6.5?
Yes.
Brinson, Colts -6.5. No.
You can tell me to do it. Sure. Just give me a percent. Right. I'll do it.
All right. So that's our three.
Colts -6.5, over under 45.
Yeah, Raiders D is bad. KC threw all over him. Minnesota ran all over him, so I don't know what they do well. You know, they get beat up two different ways. Quality offense can do what they want to do, and Indy has a quality offense with Jacoby Brissett. You know, great running game early in the season. He's been able to throw the ball and keep up. They're fifth in points scored per drive, 6 in yards per rush, 2 big games on the road in that three. So, and then the home game was against a pretty solid team too. So Colts D isn't as strong as it was last year, but the Raiders are 29th in points scored. They should have been better versus Kansas City. Didn't happen. Indy's injuries worry me. T.Y. Hilton, Darius Leonard, Pierre Desir weren't practicing this week. But what pushes it over the edge is Raiders have to go to London next week. You know, I like to look at what's coming up on the schedule, and they've been on the road. They're going to be on the road for the next month, and then they have a quote unquote home game in London coming up. So they got to go straight from Indy across the pond and go play in London. That's got to be a concern for them too. This line ticked down from 7 for the contest. It got to 6.5, and that's when I knew I was going to take the Colts at 6.5.
I'm with you. I think the Colts, the back-to-back road games is tough enough. When you're a young team, it makes it even tougher. And this is a young football team, the Raiders. I don't think they can handle this. And that you're right. They got to go to London. This is ugly. 10 points. I think they win by 10. Easy.
So yeah. Remember last year, John Gruden, when they went to Oakland, when they went to London, I think they were playing the Bears in London. Is that right? Are they playing the Bears this year?
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, man, I get like crazy anxiety every time I have to travel more than like mile and a half in an airplane. It drives me nuts.
Now, how do you think his team feels?
Yeah. Well,
it's
on
the
road
this year. I don't know how they played last year.
On the road, the Raiders, since John Gruden took over, they have never covered as a road favorite, which, my God, why were they road favorites in any situation with John Gruden?
What's their road dog record?
4-10 against the spread.
Yeah,
since
it makes sense. Because they're not a good football team either.
They're not good. They're not.
This is a bad situation for them. This is a bad, tough situation.
They're 2-12 on the road. They're just not going to win this game. And I think the way that they play on defense with Jonathan Abrams out, they're not going to have anybody that can stuff the run as much. I like Marlon Mack to have a big old day in this game.
By the way, that's another thing that we kind of lost sight of. You talk about them playing Seattle next week. Look at the Bucs schedule starting with this in the next month.
The Bucs aren't home to like late November.
And they got, read their schedule. Read how it plays out though. It's because I remember talking to Bruce Arians about it before the season. It was brutal. And the league actually apologized to him for this.
Oh my God. This is awful. They're in Los Angeles this week for the Rams game. Then they're in New Orleans the next week for the Saints game. Then they're in London to play the Panthers at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time.
Home game.
What's that?
That's a home game for them.
It's like the Raiders.
That's technically a home game, yes. Then after their week 7 bye.
Seattle, right? Don't they got Seattle?
At Tennessee in Nashville, so that's Central time. Then they're at Seattle the week after that. And then they get Bruce's old team, the Cardinals, in week 10.
And the league actually thought, you know what they did? They thought the game... When they did the schedule, they thought the game in London was in Tampa. So they did the schedule like they were going to be in Tampa that week, not realizing they were in London.
Has he talked about that? I remember hearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you about that, or did he just say that? Or like,
no, he said that. He was told that. So
just to be clear, they had those two. Look at that. They had week 9 at Seattle. Then you come home, and you've got an emotional revenge game for Bruce Arians at home. Then in week 11, you have a huge divisional game. Then you're on the road for 2 more weeks. I mean,
that schedule is just brutal. It's brutal.
You're about to lose a lot of football games.
Yep.
Okay. But
does that scare you off them this week at all, RJ? Does it make you like them more?
No, I mean they were at home last week. It's
yeah.
By the way, the Raiders, not a whole lot better, guys. Raiders are at the Colts, right? and they just played at the Vikings and got stuffed. They're facing stuff. They're at the Colts. Then they get the Bears in London. It is in London, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Then after their bye week at Green Bay and then at Houston. So their next home game is November 3rd.
Yeah, they're toast.
They're toast.
I mean, they weren't good anyways, but they're done.
So the reason I like they're under is because this stretch coming up. Man
on Twitter bet me, he was making fun of my Vikings Super Bowl pick. I was like, listen, buddy, if the Vikings lose, I was like, if the Raiders win more games than the Vikings, I'll print this tweet out and eat it. I was like, will you do the same? And he agreed to do it. So we'll see if he actually.
Well, they're not losing more. The Vikings aren't going to lose more games than the Raiders. That's a definite. But they also aren't going to the Super Bowl.
maybe not. Who knows?
All right, Princeton, I got to run.
All right, Pete. I will see you on Sportsline shortly.
You will. That's right.
I will. And apparently I'll see you in the pregame too. Just found that out, literally 1 second
ago. Are you in the pregame too? Okay, good.
Maybe. We'll see. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, RJ and I will rip through the rest of the games. But just a reminder that parlay, Bills +7.5, Cowboys -2.5, Colts -6.5. See you, Pete.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, time to dive into the rest of the games. RJ, Pete has disappeared. I like how Pete leaves and we just kind of soldier on bravely.
You take the small moments you get with him and then you cherish them forever.
All right, we squeeze in a couple, so we'll try and run through these correctly. And by the way, you missed it before the break. Bills +7.5 or 7. Cowboys -2.5. Colts -6.5. That's the pick six parlay this week. Redskins at Giants. Giants -3. The New York football Giants, to paraphrase one of our old friends, in the year of our Lord, 2019, are favored by 3 points, RJ. Over under 49.5. What say you here?
Yeah, Daniel Jones was awesome in his first game, but, you know, losing Saquon is huge for that offense. Can Daniel Jones do it all himself? I think they can still score points. Washington's 31st in points allowed per drive, and they did not look good against another bad offense and with Mitchell Trubisky at the helm. But that offense did look good for Washington those first two games before their dud last week. Keenum was back at a full practice on Thursday, which alleviates some of the concerns I have. That's why, with Keenum back, I'm making Washington +3 at best a bet. Giants D is not Chicago, so Washington, I think, is going to go back to having success like they did their first two games against a good Eagles team and a good Cowboys team. The Giants D's 31st in net yards per pass attempt, 30th in points allowed. And then you look at the home field, the Giants haven't shown that they deserve 3 points for home field. So most people will look at this line and they would say, well, they consider these two teams even and the Giants get 3 points for home field. That's why the line's what it is. I only give the Giants 1.5 points, maybe 2 for home field. So I think this Washington team from weeks 1 and 2 is clearly the better team. And for this line to make sense for me, the Giants would have to clearly be a better team. So I think we're getting good value here. I think if the Giants win, it will be by 3. And I think more than likely we're going to get the cover. So best bet for Washington for me.
Yeah, I had initially sort of leaned towards the Giants, and I think it's probably in my picks for the picks that I did on Tuesday night. And the more I started thinking about it, Washington's not going to be a best bet for me, but I think I'm going to move back to Washington. I think they have a coaching advantage. The idea that the Giants are favored by anybody without Saquon Barkley is ludicrous. I do. I mean, how much do you worry about the fact that Case Keenum? I mean, like, if what happens if Dwayne Haskins plays? What does this line do with Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, I was worried when he missed practice. Keenum missed practice on Wednesday, but he was back to a full practice on Thursday. So it seemed like even though they listed it as the foot injury, it seems like it's more of a rest thing. You know, yes, his foot is hurt, but we need to give him a rest, because if you go from not practicing at all to a full practice one day later, how bad is that injury actually? So I think Keenum's going to be fine to play the game. Colt McCoy did get two full practices in as well. You know that he obviously knows this offense. He's spent a lot of time in Washington. So if they don't want to put Haskins in, should Keenum get hurt, McCoy should be able to come in and, you know, handle his business because he has a lot of experience in this offense. So I'm not that much worried about Keenum's health at this point.
Yeah, one other thing too. Like, I'm not sure people fully grasp this, but despite throwing multiple interceptions, three of them on Monday night against the best, we say the best defensive football? We think the Bears are the best defensive football?
They certainly were last year. So, I mean, you're going to have to take that crown from them.
The best defense left from last year, and one of the five best defenses in football right now, the way that they played so far. Despite throwing those three interceptions, despite fumbling three times and losing two fumbles, the Washington offense is still 12th in DVOA through 3 weeks. They are the number eight team in terms of passing offense. Case Keenum is playing really well. And if he gets out there and he can play with Terry McLaurin, there's no one on this Giants defense that can stop them. They are terrible. In terms of pass defense, they cannot slow down anyone. They are the 31st ranked pass defense by DVOA, 24th against the run. I just think Jay Gruden knows he's coaching for his job, and I might like them as a live dog here as well. I take the over though, because I don't think Washington's slowing anyone either. That's one of my best bets. It's gotten up to 49.5. I think that's a lot of points, but I still think it goes over. You have a lean on that at all?
I'm staying away from the total. It's just with two teams that have played this poorly, anything can go wrong. You know, you get turnovers on their side of the field, so you're giving up points that you should be able to score at least some field goals, and then who knows, maybe the game ends up at 46 instead of, you know, the 53 you thought it was going to be. So I just stay away from me.
Redskins 7-0 against the spread in their last seven games following a double-digit loss at home. Giants 1-7-1 against the spread in their last nine games. The under is 13-3 in the last 16 meetings in New York, if you're interested in the trends. Panthers, my friend Kyle Allen, at the Texans. Texans -4.5, over under 47.5. I don't think this hadn't happened often this year, RJ, but we are head-to-head here.
Yeah, we're head-to-head on best bets. The look-ahead line was 5.5, Texans -5.5. Then Kyle Allen looked good, dropped to 4.5 for the Super Contest. It's down to 4 on Thursday. For me, I think that's why you go best bet Texans. You know, it's a big game from Kyle Allen. That Cardinals defense is trash. I think the line should be Houston -7 here. Will Allen look that good on the road in back-to-back games against presumably a better defense? I'm not going to say that the Texans are a great defense, but they've certainly played pretty well. And then their offense is top 10 in points per drive despite playing some good defenses. New Orleans, Jacksonville, the Chargers. So, you know, they're actually performing pretty well on offense. Houston injury report's pretty clean. Tunsil was limited on Wednesday, but then he came back and had a full practice on Thursday. So there's not really anything to worry about on the Houston injury report. Carolina missing several guys on defense. You know, I think Irvin did return to practice on Thursday, but then they lost, you know, another guy sat out. I think Dante Jackson missed practice with an injury. So you add that to Kawan Short and all the other injuries. It's just seems like the value here, especially if you're getting -4 for the Texans, like you are on Thursday. And let's just assume the line stays that way on Friday when people are listening to this. You're getting good value on the Texans here, because I think for the Panthers to be able to make sense on this line of +4, Kyle Allen's going to have to be the guy he showed last week. And if he's that good, then maybe it's -3 at the worst. You give Texans the 3 point for the home field. There's not a lot of wiggle room there for finding value on the Panthers for me. I think the other situation where Kyle Allen isn't quite as good as he showed, maybe he was an undrafted free agent for a reason and he's not, you know, a top 20 quarterback in this league like he looked last week. That's where you're getting value on the Texans, because they should win by a touchdown at least at that point.
It's entirely possible. The thing that concerns me on this is actually how well the Texans offensive line played last week. They actually looked good. I mean, they had the Max Sharping and Titus Howard. Is that right? Yeah, Max Sharping and Titus Howard moved around, and then Laremy Tunsil playing well. So if they figured out the offensive line, yikes, this team might be pretty good. I don't think the secondary is great though. And I think that I think the Panthers and Norv Turner can cook something up to make Kyle Allen look good. I think this could end up being a shootout actually, in that dome. Yes, the Kyle Allen factor is a little concerning. There's tape on him. They didn't have that last week. I still like the Panthers here. I will take the 4.5. I think they can keep it close, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won the game. If the offensive line does not play well, then to me, you can look at a situation where that defensive line does the same thing that they did against Arizona last week and just bully around a mobile quarterback, getting a lot of pressure on him. Kawan Short injured, so that could be a problem. But I like the Panthers here. Don't like it that you like the Texans, however. Chargers minus 15.5. That line's coming down. Steam headed towards the Dolphins somehow. Chargers minus 15.5 on the road in Miami, over under 44. The Chargers streak of being absolutely craptastic in September continues. They are 1-8-2 against the spread in their last 11 games in September. I hate you, Chargers. The Dolphins are 0-6 against their spread in their last six games, and the under 13-1 in their last 14 meetings between these two teams. The Chargers also 0-4 against the spread in their last four meetings in Miami. It's a long flight, RJ. You biting on this Miami line again? I know you. This is your 2016 Browns. I told you that in week one.
Yeah, well, I've been staying away. I liked them in week one. I stayed away the last 2 weeks because they're playing good teams. Chargers aren't a good team right now, so I'm going to be the sucker that takes 15.5 with the Dolphins. They're not going to lose every game by 30. I don't care how bad they are. Teams just don't do that. The worst point differential in the league was that Bucs team that went 0-14 and averaged basically like 20, getting beat by like 20.5 points per game. So there's some closer games than that, and I don't see why that can't happen with the Chargers. They just haven't looked good enough to earn this respect. They could easily be 0-3. Six Chargers players missed practice to start the week, including some key guys on offense, along with Casey Hayward, along with their kicker. Miami got Rashad Jones back at practice. That should help slow the bleeding. And Miami has a bye ahead in week five. And so this is where you give it all to change the narrative and say, we've been a laughing stock for 3 weeks. We're going to get a week off coming up. You know, if you guys want to have any restful, sleep and feel good about yourselves, you better play well in this game and keep this game close and hopefully even win the game. Although I don't know how much stock you can put into that. So the Miami offense, when you watched that game back last week, was better with Rosen. It wasn't great, but it was still better. This line, I think, is 5 points too high. It should be 10.5, 11. And I think that's giving the Chargers enough respect they deserve for how they've played. And you said they're a bad September team as well. So we're just getting a ton of value here in the Dolphins. I don't know how you don't take it.
Yeah. You know what? I was making picks in a picks league earlier, and it's the Pick Six Podcast League, which is like, they're like hundreds and maybe thousands of people still in it. We didn't even really announce it. We screwed that up, but people are still playing in it. And then for whatever reason, that league shows percentages. And there's like the majority of people are picking the Dolphins in this spot. Isn't that surprising to you? Or is that, well,
how can you lay this many points with the Chargers? They haven't looked good. Like, they went into Detroit and scored how many points? 13, 10 or 13 points in Detroit.
The Action Network has 60% of the bets are on the Dolphins. 67% of the money is on the Dolphins. What is happening? You tell me the Chargers can't go down there and run 50 straight runs and just curb stomp this team. Why can't they do that?
You got to figure they'll probably be ready for it. I don't know. It's just Chargers haven't been scoring points. So why are we thinking that they're just going to come in and all of a sudden look like the Cowboys, look like the Patriots just going to roll up to 30, 40, 50 points? I don't see it happening. Even if they get to 24, all Dolphins need to do to cover at that point is get a touchdown. So, or 10 points, And with the way Rosen looked, I don't see why that's not possible.
Yeah. And that the other thing too is like, this could be a Super Bowl type game for them because they're, like, let's say the Dolphins score first and score early. I mean, then all of a sudden you're locked into a cover. Or you might be talking me into this one. I didn't have anything on this as a best bet, but you might be talking me into the Dolphins.
Yeah, because it's the Dolphins, I'm not putting it as a best bet. I'm just putting it as a lean. So right. I'm not going to throw hard-earned money against the Dolphins. But you're talking about picks leagues.
What would it have to get to for you to take the Chargers? 10?
9.5, 10. Probably 9.5.
Okay.
I set my line, I have my numbers to where I do the power ratings and see what the line should be. My line in this game is Chargers minus 11. And just because they haven't looked quite as good, I'd want to get probably at least 10. But, 9.5 I'd be a lot better, feel better about.
Speaking
so people
teams,
thinking like maybe tease them down to 9.5. Yeah, I don't know. It's a road team with that many points. I don't think so. I mean, even doing that, because who knows how, the Dolphins, like I said, it could be that you said it's going to be their Super Bowl. They got a bye coming up.
They could win this game. If the Chargers went down there and pooped their pants and lost this game, nothing would surprise me. It's September. It's the Chargers. Everybody's pumped. They got Melvin Gordon back. They're busy worrying about that. They're doing, what is it, Thursday night? They're doing Melvin Gordon back press conferences. How about you go practice and get ready for the game and study some film of the Dolphins team, Anthony Lynn?
And it's in the Miami Heat, where a couple of years ago they started shading the Miami side of the field and leaving the other players out in the heat. So the LA, they go, the Carson Chargers are used to having good weather. No matter what, they're gonna have to deal with that Miami Heat. So gets up to 85, 90, who knows? They're, they could stifle in the second half and we get this cover.
All right, Titans at the Falcons. Falcons minus four, over under 45.5. Which team needs it more, RJ?
My lean would be to the Titans. The Falcons have struggled with turnovers. They got 7 turnovers. Titans only have 1, so they know how to at least protect the ball, even though they haven't looked that dynamic on offense. The Falcons defense got 3 turnovers in their only win. So if Tennessee does protect the ball, I think the Falcons are going to struggle to score points if they're not getting that short field, no matter how their offenses look good. Titans D has played well thus far. They ranked 8th in points allowed per drive. Titans got that mini bye after getting their butts kicked on Thursday. So, that's going to help them having a little bit extra preparation and rest. And Tennessee has the coaching advantage here. I'm not that all impressed with the Atlanta staff. Wouldn't be surprised if they make a coaching change before the end of the year. So because of that, I liked it better when it started at 4.5 and I was hoping, or maybe 5. That's what I was hoping to get for the contest. Now that it's down to 4, I'm probably not going to play it in the contest, but my lean would be to the Titans.
I would go Titans here too. I don't think I took anything. Falcons are bad. They lost Keanu Neal. They don't have a lot of offensive line help. Tennessee can get pressure on them. Tennessee's got a good secondary. And the only thing that would make me lean towards the Falcons here, I mean, look at this. He's dropping like flies. I mean, they're just not healthy. I mean, Dan Quinn's getting fired. It's just end of the story. The only thing is, like, they are so desperate for this win that they may show up at home. And I just think people are going to be off of Tennessee given how bad they look. So I'll take Tennessee as well. Seahawks minus 5.5 at the Cardinals, over under 48. We both have a best bet here. Who you got?
My best bet is the Cardinals plus 5.5. I think that's too much. It's not a great role for Seattle, the role they're playing right now, when there are road favorites of 3 or higher in the division. They're 4-8-1 against the spread since 2012. So if they have to lay a bunch of points in a divisional game, they struggle. And they couldn't cover in either such spot last year. They were at Arizona again in week 4 last year, at San Francisco in week 15. Both of those were close wins. They didn't cover the spread. Seattle's the more banged up team going into this one, particularly on defense. I think Arizona's going to be able to score points. That offense looks like it's getting better and better as the year progresses. Arizona as a team isn't as bad as expected. 2-1 against the spread. The offense has been solid, particularly running the ball. And that's everybody focused on Cliff Kingsbury coming out. He's going to throw the ball over the place with that offense. But they've actually been pretty solid running the ball, and it's taking some pressure off the offensive line. The look ahead line for this was Seattle minus 3. What changed in this game? Like, what's the thing that pushed it up a couple points? I don't see. It's not like Seattle won their game last week, even though they played well. The only thing that I can see is that Seattle is great after a loss. They're 23-10-2 against the spread since 20-12. But, you know, we talk about that Thursday game. They got a bad spot with the Rams on Thursday Night Football. They're not a team that looks ahead. So I don't think that they're going to be caught off guard here. But I don't see why Arizona just can't play well at home, have a big game against Russell Wilson here, and keep this game close.
Yeah, I like the over here. I think this is a shootout situation. The Seahawks defense is bad. They, look at that. They're bad. They're not good. And they don't, might not give up any rushing yards. They're going to give up some passing yards. Arizona secondary is still a disaster. I think we end up seeing, 50 plus points in this game. The only concern I guess I would have is if, the Seattle went up like 21-0 early and then just went into clamp down mode and ran the ball a ton, which is entirely possible. But I would probably lean with the Cardinals here too. I do think that Kingsbury can scheme up some, like I don't think the Seahawks will get to him as effectively as the Panthers did. And I think everyone, I don't know if they'll be expecting the Seahawks to stroll in and win. This is a divisional game. They got to play well. So I will take the Cardinals there. Lean the Cardinals, and we'll take the over as one of my best bets. Vikings at Bears. Bears minus 1.5. Over under 38.
Yeah, I think it's 2 on the market, but then the contest line came out, and that's what we use for these, and it's 1.5. So, what's that?
It opened at 3, by the way.
It opened at 3. It's been moving down, and this shows that Westgate thinks it's going to keep moving down because they try to anticipate where the move's coming before Sunday. So I don't think there's any question that the Vikings are the better overall team, but I do not trust Kirk Cousins on the road against an elite defense. Chicago's going to take away the run. They're a great defensive team. They can do that. Then what? Kirk Cousins has to beat you with his arm. Minnesota's 6th in net yards per pass attempt, but 32nd in pass attempts. So they look good on the efficiency numbers, but it's because they haven't had to throw the ball. They just hand it off every game. You know, the two wins that they had, they just kept handing it off, and they raised it to win the game. The reason I'm only going to lean Bears minus 1.5 is that Chicago has yet to reach 300 yards of offense. That's not good, and you're playing a good defense here, even at home. I'm not going to trust that offense to like light up the scoreboard or anything. So this is going to be a low scoring game. A defensive touchdown could decide it either way. And if I went best bet Bears here, I would be grumbling when the Vikings get a defensive touchdown and win the game. So I'm just going to lean to the Bears, but it's going to be a low scoring game. That 38 looks like a low number, but I think it probably comes under that total too.
Why don't we throw the, why don't we do a 10 team teaser? 10 point teaser. Vikings under, Bears, Vikings, Bears under, Bills, Patriots under, and Jaguars, Broncos under.
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do that. It can be the pick six, pick whatever, our teaser of the week. You know, but you don't like teasing totals, but that's not a bad teaser, right?
It should be fine. I mean, if you're getting 10 points for a total, I don't see why that won't hit because, you know, it's a lot of bad offenses here, but, you know, defensive touchdown here or there could screw up your total there. So who knows?
RJ's like, just, I'll give you the teaser, man. Just shut up.
Yeah, just do it. I don't care.
My best bet's the Vikings. I think, I know Kirk Cousins stinks on the road in a big spot. I know he's like Andy Dalton, like, he's like, the Bud Heavy to Bud Light of Andy Dalton. He's like, you know, Andy Dalton Heavy or whatever it is. Full flavored Andy Dalton, if you will. And, the Bears are a really good defense and that concerns me. I do think the Vikings offensive line is very good running the ball though. And I think they can establish a run. We saw them against an elite defense in the Packers on the road. They could have and should have won that game. Cousins messed himself. They were down 21 and they still ran the ball and played defense and almost won that game. Trubisky's not going to do anything against their defense. I agree with you. I do not think there will be a lot of points. I think the Vikings get out of here with a win straight up in Chicago and avenge the loss late last year that hurt them when it came to their playoff chances. So I got the Vikings as the best bet. Bengals at the Steelers. Steelers minus 3.5 over under 44. Mason Rudolph. Primetime Andy Dalton. Who you got?
What did I tell you at the beginning of this week? I told you to remind me of something.
Don't take Andy Dalton primetime.
Do not take Andy Dalton because I so want to take the Bengals here with how bad the Steelers looked on offense. But I can't possibly back Andy Dalton in primetime. Pittsburgh didn't deserve that cover. They got 5 turnovers. They somehow still lost the game. So that, any realistic scenario, that game probably should have been, you know, 49ers by what? Or lose that game by what? 14, 17, whatever there. So Rudolph threw for less than 100 yards if you take out that juju catch and run touchdown play. So my best bet here is going to be the under. I want to fade both these quarterbacks, and I think the only way you do that is by taking the under. So best bet is going to be under 44, and let's hope that there's not going to be a bunch of defensive touchdowns that screw that up.
Yeah, I might like that too. I don't think they're going to try and chuck it deep with Mason Rudolph. I'm starting to lean towards the Bengals more and more. The Steelers are bad. Why are the Steelers favorite?
Andy Dalton in prime time.
But Heath had a good point on the podcast yesterday. What if the Andy Dalton thing is not Andy primetime Andy Dalton? What if it was Andy Dalton coached by Marvin Lewis?
Right.
Like, what if Zach Taylor can change that narrative?
Right. And I do. I think I might have put that in when I took this for SportsLine. I did like the Bengals when it was 4. And I think that might have been part of my narrative is, you know, Zach Taylor is unproven. You know, maybe he cooks something up under the primetime lights and all of a sudden this game's a little bit better they're a little bit better than we thought. So I wouldn't rule that out. The running game has been bad though. Steelers defense looked pretty good last week. So who knows? You know, I'm playing it safe and I'm just going to go with the under.
Okay. I like that under too. I would lean that under too, but, I don't have a best bet on that. Let's look at our best bets for the week though. Pete. Do we throw them all up? Throw it up and I'll start talking. Pete's got Buffalo plus 7, Jacksonville plus 3, Cleveland plus 6.5. Uh-oh. Pete, the underdog, Kansas City, Detroit over, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles over, and Dallas minus 2.5 at New Orleans. Next up, RJ, why don't you tell us about that is a slate, RJ.
You like those, don't you? I had Houston minus 4.5 against Carolina, Washington plus 3 at the Giants, Indy minus 6.5 at home against Oakland, Tampa plus 5.5 at the Rams, Arizona plus 5.5 against Seattle at home, Dallas minus 2.5 at New Orleans. Love that Bengals Steelers under 44 we were just talking about, and love the Patriots Bills under 42.5.
And by the way, that's 9.5, Tampa plus 9.5, not 5.5. Just
9.5, right. I was reading ahead.
You're fine. My best bets, I only have 6 of them, right at my average. That's what I do, 6 a week. Carolina plus 4.5 at Houston. Dallas minus 2.5 at New Orleans. Minnesota plus 1.5 at Chicago. The Washington, New York over 49.5. Patriots, Bills under 42.5. Seattle, Arizona over 48. And, our parlay of the week, again, I don't know why I've said it 9 times, Bills plus 7.5. Cowboys minus 2.5 and the Colts minus 6.5. Anything else to add before we get out of here, RJ?
All sounds good to me. Sounds like a lot of winners.
Go to sportsline.com, sign up. Sportsline.com, or 10-point teaser, yeah. Jags, Bears, and Bills under 10-point teaser. Getting involved in a lot of action. Check out, I put up my best bets. It'll be that list of games probably, but may throw in some more in there. Also do a Moneyline underdog parlay, and we'll have some DFS stuff. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code WHITE to get the first month for $1, and you can see RJ's picks there, as well as other experts who can dish out their picks. And subscribe.
Check out my Wednesday article where I did an underdog Moneyline parlay, 140-1 if it comes in. I believe it's four teams. So go ahead and check out which teams I like there. It's a Wednesday betting tips article.
Whoa, I'm going to have to check that out. 140-1. Let's get weird. Does it involve the offense?
No, it doesn't involve it all.
Good. All right. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you, everybody, for leaving the 5 stars. We'll do a mailbag soon. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.